I am a little bit nervous to be before you this evening. Let me first say that I'm glad to be here, but I am nervous. I was just here about 2 months ago, and I don't want to wear out my welcome here at Cool Springs. And I know a little bit of David Montgomery goes a long way, in so much that I get very tired of myself as well. And I have no choice, but you do. And so I'm cognizant of that fact. I also have something on my mind that I have tried to preach on 3 times, and all 3 times I've made a miserable failure of it. And it's so bad that when they went through the handshake line, that they said, "We're praying for you, Brother David." When they tell you that, you know you didn't do good at all. Now, if some of you come in the handshake and say that you're praying for me, I'll appreciate your prayers, and I'll give you the benefit of a doubt that you don't mean it in the way that it's usually meant. I also told Brother Philip that if I did not feel the Spirit, then I'm going to sit down very quickly. And if he would like to get up and preach to us, I would be very delighted. I would like to hear preaching myself, and I don't get to hear Brother Philip. And so if he does come up and speaks to us, it's not because that I said anything wrong. It's because everything I said was wrong, and he needs to take care of that if he's being a good pastor. And I asked him as a friend that if you feel like saying something, it wouldn't bother me in the slightest. Having said that, I probably have every one of your attention. What is he going to talk about? Is it something controversial? Absolutely not. It's very basic. It's just for some reason, I can't preach a lick on this thing. And here we go. May the Lord bless. This is found in the 3rd chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And it is speaking of John the Baptist and the baptism that he performed there on the banks of the Jordan River. And then it tells us that Pharisees and Sadducees came to him to be baptized. He said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth," this is verse 8, "therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." In other words, y'all aren't that special. God is all powerful. Now in verse 10, he says, "And now also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." He's speaking of a man that has power, authority, judgment, a man that is mightier than John, mightier than anybody. Something is coming. This man that I'm speaking of, we all know, is the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the herald. He was the last of the prophets. The law and the prophets were until John. And John was sent to prepare the Lord's people for the coming of the Messiah. John had met the Lord Jesus before, when they were both in their mother's womb. And when the mother of Jesus came in and saluted John's mother, John leapt in his mother's womb for joy. You know, I can't even quiet a baby down. How could you reach an infant in your mother's womb? If salvation is by the gospel, then John the Baptist was saved by another way. How did John, in his mother's womb, know that the Lord was near? The same way you do. The Spirit tells you. How do you believe in a man that you've never met, and a man that you trust would take care of your eternal destiny? And for you to commit that and have all confidence. I mean, I think where we're going after death is mighty important, don't you? I'm concerned about getting to the airport on time tomorrow. And I'm going to do everything I can to get there. I don't want to miss that plane. But there is a plane to glory I don't want to miss either. I want to make sure I get on that. But the problem is, by my nature, I am totally depraved. And sin cannot cleanse sin. There has to be something greater than I. And I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And understanding my condition in sin makes me appreciate Christ all the more, because if it weren't for Him, we would all be lost. And I leap for joy when I hear the sound of the gospel. John the Baptist spoken of this great man. I'm not worthy to bear his shoes. I'm not worthy to unloose the latches of his shoes. This man is going to baptize you, but not like my baptism. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with fire. He's got his fan in his hand. He's going to purge the chaff. He's going to separate the chaff from the wheat. He's going to purge it. This man has got power. This man has authority. He's mightier than I. What happens next? Verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Oh boy, what do you do with that? He just has spoken of this man, and now here is that man come to him to be baptized. I have been blessed to baptize God's people. I am honored to do it, and I'm unworthy. What would you think if the Son of God came to you to be baptized? What would you say? John said the only thing that could be said. John forbade him. saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Isn't it interesting that the two ordinances of the Old Baptist Church, that being baptism and communion, when the Lord Jesus was baptized, a man forbade him. And in the Last Supper, when he came to wash Peter's feet, Peter forbade him. Peter said, you'll never wash my feet. John said, you need to baptize me. And in both cases, the Lord said, you better let this go. You better let this happen. Now, I don't know. I tend to try to understand what people are thinking in the Scriptures. I try to put myself in their position and try to think about what would I do if that were me. And they said that, and I wonder why they said that. And let me try to interject myself in that and maybe get some meaning out of it. And 99.9% of the time I'm wrong as wrong can be, but I still keep trying. And I'm going to try again. And I'm probably going to be wrong. You'll know. See, I found if I tell people this, I get 100% of their attention. If I came to you and said, I think I know everything, y'all ought to shut me down immediately. All right. I tend to believe that when Peter told the Lord that it was pride. I tend to think so. I could be wrong. You'll never wash my feet. I don't think that's something you need to tell the Lord. You don't say that. You don't say anything like that to the Lord. You just whatever you say. Whatever he says unto you, do it. That's the mindset we ought to have in dealing with our Savior. The Lord said, if I don't wash your feet, I have no part with you. Then Peter swings it to the other side. Well, not my feet, but my hands and my head. We'll leave Peter stumbling for words. We'll go back to John the Baptist. John said, I have need to be baptized today. I think John was motivated by humility. I think there was something in his mind that he had an understanding of the importance of this man and his role in God's kingdom and God's providence. And I don't think it ever entered into the mind of John the Baptist that the Redeemer would come to him to be baptized. I don't think that would have entered anybody's mind. Anybody who would have been John the Baptist, I wouldn't have thought about that. That's what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to baptize people under repentance. That's my job. I'm going to tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then he sees the Lord and he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He sees him again. He says it again. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. My work is almost done. And then here he comes. I want you to baptize me. Whoa! No, wait. That was not in the agreement. You need to baptize me. And you're coming to me? There's a lot going on here. What the Lord says to him, I'm going to skim the surface. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. The word suffer means to allow. You do this. Suffer it to be so. And then he says the word now. And I think there's more in that word there. He could have said, suffer it to be so, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. But why did the Lord say now? Now, I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. If I'm straining at a gnat, tell me about it. If I'm not making any sense, well, that's part of the course with me. Okay? I don't even understand what I mean half the time. But if you're going to fall asleep, now's not the time. Okay? I'll tell you when to fall asleep. But I don't fall asleep right now. All right. Suffer it to be so now. I believe, my meditations, I've been blessed to feed off that. If I could, let me put it in my own words. John, you baptized me. You've just asked me to baptize you. You want to know something, John? I am going to baptize you. I will baptize you. Not now, but I am. As a matter of fact, you just told everybody that I am going to baptize people. Remember what you said? This man's mightier than I. He will baptize you. How did you say it? With the Holy Ghost and with fire? I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You do what I say, because what we're doing is the establishment of the New Testament church. I believe right here, the church began. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and being baptized of John the Baptist, is giving out the example that all believers should follow. We sing that song. Jesus said, let each believer be baptized in my name. He himself in Jordan's river was immersed beneath the stream. Now, Christ's baptism of John sets forth the example that all believers should do, because he did it himself. It also proves that water baptism does not save you from your sins. Because how many sins did the Lord Jesus need to be saved from? Zero. Peter established that when he said about water baptism, it does not put away the filth of the flesh. But it is an answer. I'm going to misquote it, and Brother Philip can correct me if he chooses to. But it is an answer of a good conscience toward God. I think I missed a word up in there somewhere. But it's fine. You get the import? Baptism doesn't even give you a good conscience. You have it before. But it is the answer of that conscience. It is the answer to a question. What shall I do? Be baptized. Why? Because he said so. Because he did it himself. Because it will answer your conscience. And it will satisfy your conscience. And it will... When I was baptized at the age of 14 by my father at Little Vine Primitive Baptist Church in Austin, Texas, I had been desiring to be baptized for 4 years. But because I was nervous and shy. Believe it or not, I was. Yes, I can be nervous and shy when I choose to be. And for 4 years, I chose to be nervous and shy to get up and make a public profession of faith. I'm ashamed of myself. But it finally got to the point where I couldn't contain it, and I did. And let me tell you something. When my Father raised me out of the water, I didn't see angels. I didn't see heaven come down. But I tell you what, I felt so good. And I left that desire, that question, that what do I do? I left that behind. And I went forward. And there's so much else that I could say. Christ did not come to John to be saved from his sins. Christ had no sins to be saved from. Christ came to John to establish the ordinance of his church that he was building. And it started right here. But he also said, I believe in these scriptures, John, yes, you do need to be baptized of me. I need to be baptized of Christ. Every one of you does. And that is something that is done effectually, unconditionally, unasked for, undesired. You do not have to come in front of the church to get that baptism. That is done beyond your desire. That is given to you by divine grace and the divine right because you are an elect of God. I believe that happens when you're born again. I believe it happens. I believe it happened on the cross. I believe it just happens. Jesus came out of the water. Something happened. Lord gave John the Baptist something. John the Baptist saw something nobody has ever seen. I don't think anybody has ever seen since. Jesus was walking. I mean, I don't know if he was. This is just the way I play it out in my head. As he is going out of the water, heaven is open. Now, I said heaven wasn't open when I was baptized, but it was open when Christ was. He sees something come down out of heaven. It looked like a dove. And it lighted on the Lord. And as far as I know, John the Baptist is the only person to see the Holy Spirit in bodily form. That must have been amazing. And then he heard the voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And at that moment, the Trinity of God stood together on earth. In a sense that John saw it. And if I may say this, that is not my phone ringing. Okay, good. I actually was preaching in Georgia one time. This would happen in Georgia. That my phone rang in my pocket. And instead of silencing it, I actually answered it. And the person on the other end heard me preach, and they stood on the line and heard me preach an entire sermon. And then I heard this voice coming out of my pocket when we were milling around. David, pick up. And it was my brother. He said, that was a good sermon, except you missed that one part over there. Anyway, that really happened. That's a true story. And every time I hear a phone ringing, I think about that. All right, back to the sermon. I don't know if I'm making any sense. I hope I am. The Apostle Paul makes a statement over here in the 6th chapter of Romans that I'd like to read to you. And this is too deep for me, but I'm going to try. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, You really need to start in verse 5, but I don't have the time, and I don't have the patience, and I'm too tired, and anything else. But he's talking about the righteousness of Christ and the salvation by grace and the effectiveness of Christ's death on the cross and his justification. And in that, we are declared righteous through the redemption in Jesus Christ. And then he asked a question in verse 1 of chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's interesting. And in the times that I've tried to study and preach on this, I always focused on the God forbid and circling back to verse 1 and trying to answer that question. And I'm like, wait, Paul answered that question pretty good. But let's look at the explanation that Paul gave why this is God forbid. Why would Paul say God forbid? Well, first of all, anybody who ever thinks that is all wet. People tell me this. People tell me, if people told you this, well, if I believe in grace, then I just do whatever I wanted. Try. Go ahead and try. Try. I've got 16 and two-thirds stock answers to that statement. Here's one of the answers. I am doing what I want. I'm going to church. That's got to be grace for me to want to go to church, right? I was a preacher's kid. I went to church way too much as a child, right? Amen. We went to church a lot because my dad was a preacher. We couldn't even go on vacation unless there was a church meeting. We went, get this. We went to the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. Exciting. We're going on top of a mountain in Colorado. You know what? There was a Primitive Baptist Association going on top of the mountain. We can't even go on top of the mountain, and there's an association going on. What a terrible childhood I had. No, I rise and call my parents blessed. When my parents lived, when we lived in the state of Utah, we drove 5 hours on Sunday morning to go to church. And I don't want to hear y'all. Any of you kids that ever come to me and said, oh, I've got to drive 30 minutes to go to church. Cry me a river. I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to church. Now, having said all that, let me be nice for a second. I am doing what I want. I like going to church. It's the best I feel. It's the best place on earth. You want a vacation, go to church. I like to get away from the world. There's too much nastiness going on. It's getting worse, by the way. It really is. I live in the 7th largest city in the country. It's not good. But church is sweeter than it ever has to me. The world may be getting worse. Church is just as good. And it's just as fresh. But Paul makes this statement. We are dead to sin. We're dead to sin. We're not under the dominion of sin. You know why? Because we're saved by the grace of God. Why would we want to go back to where we were saved from? We needed salvation. We've got it. Why would we ever want to go back? We're better off because of Christ. We're better off because of His salvation. We're better off because of the gospel. Because of the church, because of baptism, because of communion and feet washing. Why would we ever want to go back? As Elder Monsey said, why would you roam from this dear, peaceful home? Solomon said, why would you hew out, maybe a Solomon, Isaiah, somebody said, why would you hew out broken cisterns? that can hold no water. How that we are dead to sin, live any longer therein. And then he says this, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." Now you can prove the principle of baptism by immersion in these verses. But I believe there's more to it than that. And I believe he's speaking of how we are positionally in Christ, and that we are immersed in Christ. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We are predestinated to be conformed to His image. And because Christ went into the grave and rose from the grave, we are justified completely by Jesus Christ. That to me is a baptism. That is, He went all the way into the grave and He came all the way out of it and He stood alive from the dead on that great morning. And I believe the heavens were opened again. I wasn't there. Nobody was there. They should have been there. He told them four times, "I will rise from the dead on the third day," and they weren't there. Aren't you glad? It does not take our obedience to be saved. Because He told them about it, and they weren't there. They didn't have to be there. Because in a sense, they were there. Because they're in Christ. We went with Him. Because we're in Him. We went down to the grave and we rose from the grave. Water baptism is a picture of that great event. And it is, in a sense, also of the final. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I want to get what I'm saying. Listen to me. Don't fall asleep right now either, okay? Thank you. Everything that needs to be done to save your soul from hell has been done. All right? But there's still unfinished business. Do you know what it is? Well, to be completely right, I have to say that there are still children of God that need to be born again. All right, that's ongoing. The ark is still being prepared. They're still being placed in Christ. But after the last elect child of God is born again, there is still unfinished business. What would that be? The resurrection. The redemption of our bodies. Because He did not die for just your spirit and your soul. He died for every bit of you. Because every bit of you has been saved. And every bit of you is in Christ. You are baptized unto Christ. And He's coming back for what's His. If you have passed on, you're coming with Him. And if you're alive, you'll see Him. Now, I asked my grandfather this one time. I said, "Papa, would you rather be with Christ on the resurrection morning, coming down to be reunited with your body? Or would you rather be on the earth and see Him coming down?" Now, here's what he said to me. David, that is the stupidest question you have ever asked. And I got my feelings hurt because I'm so tender-hearted. I said, Papa, why is that? What do you mean? He said, what difference does it make? He says, either way, I'm going to be with the Lord. Either way, I'm going to be glorified. Either way, I'm going to hear, I trust, come in, ye blessed of the Father. Either way, I'm going to glory. It doesn't matter. Either way sounds pretty good. Because both get you in the same place. And that's the complete and finalness of God's great purpose of redemption. And when he said, John, we've got things to do, but don't worry. You're one of mine. Now, I've got two more minutes and I'll close. John the Baptist was in jail, in prison, at the end of his life. And he sends two of his disciples to Christ. And they ask him the question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I don't want to overanalyze that statement because I've read a lot of overanalyzations of that statement. I do believe that John had been in jail. He was concerned and he had not heard. And he was in doubt, like we all get. I wonder, though, this is just me. The sermon's over. This is just me talking right now. I wonder, though, if John the Baptist was, you know, you said you're going to baptize me. Is that still a go? Is that still going to happen? I kind of need to know that right now. Because the end of my life is right at hand. The kingdom is at hand and my end is at hand. Is it true? Jesus told him. Tell him that death here. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I think that was all John needed to hear. The gospel's being preached. It's like one of my favorite hymns says this: my heart that on this promise lives, can on this promise die. Death is just a transition to a better place. I wish I had everything I wanted. There is one thing I want more than anything. I wish the resurrection would happen right now. It would save me the trouble of driving to Atlanta. It saved me from Hartsfield Airport. It saved me from Southwest Airlines. As Eller Piles likes to say, I'd rather take a plane air ride than an airplane ride any day. One of these days, he's going to come back. We will see him and we will be with him. Till then, let's just keep on preaching, keep on singing, keep on believing, keep on keeping on. God bless you all. Thank you very much.